We stand before you with heavy hearts, yet we stand before you with thanksgiving because we thank you that you're still among us, Lord God. That Jesus walks with us and he talks with us and he tells us that we are his own. We come before you, God, and we thank you because we know the Spirit of the Lord is among us. With two or more gathered together in his name, he is in the midst of us. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your faithfulness to us this morning. We thank you for your loving kindness, Lord God. And as we continue to lift up prayers before you, Lord God, from throughout the world, from this very church pulpit and from throughout the world, Lord God, we pray that you will hear from heaven. Hear from your holy place this morning. And as I stand before you as your servant, God, put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord God, let us surrender ourselves before you, each and every one of us in this place. Speak a word now, God, a word of hope, a word of life, a word of healing, Lord God. Speak a word of healing, for you sent your word forth to, Lord God, to heal all of our diseases, and your word will not return to you void, but will accomplish what you have sent it to do. Let your word accomplish healing this morning in someone's life. Let your word accomplish healing on the earth. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And so my sermon title today is A Miracle on the Sabbath. A Miracle on the Sabbath. And how we need a miracle today. We certainly need a miracle every day, but we need a miracle now more so than we ever needed it before. There's something interesting about the Sabbath, isn't there? So I'm going to give a little background, and so we can remember why Sunday was so important as the Sabbath for us, why it is. Sabbath as Sunday, as the Lord's Day, as holy. We read in Genesis 2:2-3, and on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, made it holy, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. Most Christians today recognize Sunday as the Lord's Day, a day to attend church and worship God, don't we? When did the Christian church switch the Sabbath from the Saturday to Sunday? No specific names or dates are associated with the church's shift from observing the holy day on Saturday to observing it on Sunday. At first, especially when many Christians were converted Jews, their holy day was Saturday. However, because the resurrection and the beginning of creation had both occurred on the first day of the week, Sunday, the church soon observed that day instead. More Gentiles were becoming Christians as well, which contributed to a desire to shake off Jewish customs, and by the end of the first century, Sunday worship was the norm. So Sunday worship became the norm, coming out of, because of our Judeo-Christian relationship, it started with Saturday, but it became the norm. Sunday worship became the norm in Christendom, so to speak. And we call it the Lord's Day because it came out of the scriptures. However, since World War II, here's the bad news, but there's a lot of good news. Because Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
However, since the World War II, the significance of observing Sunday as a holy day has dropped dramatically. Friends. Yes, church bells still ring. People attend church on Sunday morning, but Sunday afternoon is considered a holiday instead of a holy day. It has been dropping dramatically. But society in the U.S., for example, and other parts of the world, no longer know what holy and sacred mean. Does worshiping God on the holy day include shopping, conducting business, washing car, watching TV, mowing the lawn, cleaning the garage, attending the ball games, or skiing? Many Christians believe it does. But what does God's intention for this holy day mean? Now let me clear it up first that we know that the society and the culture has changed and that many people are working on Sundays. We get that. They're doing good work. And they have no choice. Doctors and nurses and so on and so forth and many folks. But oftentimes there are many of us who have allowed Sundays to be co-opted, taking from us to become this time where we could do everything else but church. Some of us feel as if worshiping God on a Sunday, it is a major problem just to spend an hour, or in our case, an hour or something, before God. What is the latest on church attendance in America? They say less than 20% of Americans regularly attend church on a Sunday. American church attendance is steadily declining. But I want to say something before I get into this text. I said it to a couple of my colleagues. I've been praying about it. And I thought about this often. God is taking back Sunday. Look at what has happened. Would one have ever believed that there would be no NFL and all the NBA hockey game, that all the stadiums would be closed in America? Would we have ever believed that? That everything would have been able to shut down on a Sunday? See, I've got that kind of mind, you see. I'm always seeing the God in it. Right? It breaks my heart that it's something as terrible as the coronavirus that would bring that on. Right? Could you imagine that we are literally quarantined in our homes and we can't go to the ball game, that many folks would skip church, even skip an hour to come to church to go to a ball game? And could it be that God is saying to us, our young people that we are growing in schools, growing up as children, we have had all those games taken over our children so that they can't even come to Sunday school and church on a Sunday for an hour or hour and a half or 2 hours? Could it be that there's a God in heaven that is saying, you need to slow down and be still and know that I am God?
Amen.
Be still and know that there is a creator of the universe. Regardless of what we call that creator, whatever you want to call him, God, or some people call him the major source, for me, he is God, Yahweh, the God of the world. He's saying, stop. Stop. For a moment. The very earth is crying out to us. Stop. I saw something on Facebook that said, that I posted, that the earth is resting because all the cars are not driving anymore on the earth. That the very earth is now resting, getting some rest, because all the cars and the trucks and the bikes and the boats all still. Very creation is crying out. Could it be that God wants us to look again at the Lord's day? To look again, to take this time as we are quarantined and all we are locked in, to say, God, Yes, God, you are God. Yes, God, you are God of the universe. Yes, God, you're God of the Sabbath. Oh, yes, the NBA, the NFL, the NASCAR, the hockey game, the tennis, all the stadiums are closed. You could hear pins drop in those places. Who could do this but God?
Amen.
And so we need to learn a lesson from this. And we need not to go back. Go back to this. I am praying that when God brings us through, because God will bring us through. When God brings us through this, yes, we're going to be leaner than we were before. Yes, economically we may have to go through some stuff, but when God brings us through, I am praying that we will not go back to what we used to be, that there are those who have not been to church for so long, Christian believers, I am talking to you now, that church has become what? People just come to church on what? The high holy days. High holy days, let me remind them that every Sunday it's Easter. Every Sunday is Easter because Jesus is risen.
Amen.
You see, there's always good news for us. Because Jesus was going to use the Sabbath to do the Lord's work. In this text, Jesus was going to use the Sabbath to do the Lord's work. Right? And the scripture we read in the scriptures, it says, as a man walked along, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. I want to make a first point here. Friends, I know we live in a culture that people are pointing fingers at other people with this coronavirus. There have been finger pointing going on. That the virus, the Chinese did it, that this did it. Listen, trust me. God does not want us to do that. God does not. We don't know when we get the full story. We know it came from China. And that's it. It could have come from America. There is no finger pointing needed here. Right? He's no finger pointing about who sinned. God doesn't ask us to point fingers about who sinned. God asks us to pray for those who sin.
Amen.
Not to point finger. We have to pray for everybody. And here it was, this man who had lost his sight. What were the Pharisees doing? What were the folks doing? Pointing finger, saying, his parents must have done something. That's the reason why he's blind. And Jesus said, things happen in this world so that what? God may be glorified.
Amen.
That God may be glorified. It is difficult to think that things happen because for us to just to understand that there is a God. That God has to get our attention. Sometimes God has to do hard things to get our attention. And the Bible says when he said this, what did Jesus do? After he had a little dialogue with the man, he spat on the ground and he made mud with the saliva and he spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. You know, I was thinking about that. God, Jesus used the earth, the very mud of the earth, to make a salve for that man's eye. Jesus will use whatever it is and will do whatever it is to bring forth a healing into somebody's life. Jesus used the very earth. You see, the earth itself has got what? Healing powers. Mm-hmm. The very earth God created it with healing powers. We and many of us in the world have tried to destroy the earth of his healing power because of overwork and overuse and destruction. But Jesus himself knelt down, and took the very ground and made a mud salve and he put it on the man's eye. And then he said to him, then he went and he washed and he came back and he could see. He says, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And today, as we're thinking about the people with the coronavirus, I am praying that Jesus will send a salve for us. That Jesus will send the medicine, the combination of that protocol that is needed on the earth to bring forth healing. I am praying that the same Jesus will somehow tell us through the doctors and the nurses what is the best combination to bring forth healing on his people. Because he's the same Jesus. He's the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Amen.
Now, were the people happy? Aren't we delighted, friends, that China is now in better situation?
Amen.
Aren't we happy? And our hearts are broken for what's happening in Italy and what may happen in our country. But we are delighted that China has passed through the worst, haven't we? But in this text, let me tell you, that man could see, and those folks were not happy that he could see. They were not happy that he could see. They begin to question him. The Bible says, the man, they ask him the question, who is this person who did this for you? Who is this person who healed you? Who told you this? And here's what they begin to investigate Jesus. And the Bible says, now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. It was a Sabbath day. Friends, a Sabbath day is the Lord's day. And Jesus would heal that man on the Sabbath. I want to talk to people who don't show up in churches and come to pray and worship God. Miracles will happen in churches.
Amen.
The Lord's Spirit is here when worshipers come together to worship God through the songs and through the preached word and through the scriptures. Healing can come and will come.
Amen.
Scripture tells us where two or more are gathered together in your name, he is in the midst. I know you all stay home and says, I could pray anywhere. I could pray in my bathroom. I could pray at dinner. Yes, we can. We're supposed to pray every and anywhere. But there's something about gathering together on the Sabbath in the Lord's church, on the Lord's day, worshiping, calling on the name of Jesus, that something awesome happens.
Amen.
People walk in to the church and sometimes you feel broken and weary and all alone. And just because you hear a song played and the folks are singing, great is thy faithfulness. Oh Lord, my Savior. All of a sudden your circumstance begins to change. You don't know. It hasn't physically changed, but your spirit, you want to get up and shout. You want to get up and say something because the Sabbath is the Lord's day and you took the time out of your day to come to church, to stand up and to kneel down and pray to him, to sing a song. And all of a sudden you feel the glory of God in that place. Glory to God. Friends, we need to go back to that. Where we gather together, we come together, that we don't spend time minimizing the importance of coming together. Now that we've been quarantined and locking in and shut down, maybe, just maybe, we'll realize how much we're in need of worshiping together with each other. Amen. How much we know that we're in need of just praising God together. That the Sabbath is the day of the Lord's work. And so some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. He does not observe the Sabbath. What does observing the Sabbath means? Observing the Sabbath means what? That we worship God on the Sabbath. Observing the Sabbath means that we make time for God. God intended for us to come together and to worship together.
Amen.
Observing the Sabbath means that we take time out of our busy lives to say that God is holy. To pray together, to worship him. And so we are reminded in this text that Jesus would step across boundaries as he always does. And he would He would heal a blind man who was an outcast, because in those days, if you had any physical ailment, you were what? The devil did it to you. Sin caused it. And he would heal him. He would heal him on the Sabbath. He used what he had. He used the earth to heal him. And then he told him to go wash, and he could see. Friends, we need to think about that. We need to begin to think about the importance of the Sabbath to us, what it means to gather on the Lord's Day. So on this Lord's Day, we have gathered. We're small in number, but you're watching, and we're gathered here. And as the man repeats the story, we have got a story. If you were to talk to me or Joan or Angel or Zamzam or Nancy, we could tell you a story about what God has done for us. Right? This is what this man did.
Hallelujah.
They begin to investigate him. And what did he say? He says, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I don't know what, but I knew you told me to put mud on my, he put mud on my eyes, and he told me to go wash, and I wash, and I can see.
Amen.
Amen. Do we have a story that what God has done for us? This man
glory
had a story.
God
had healed him, and he had a story. Oh, glory to God. And if we have a story, the songwriter says, I've got a story to tell to the nations.
Amen. Ah,
when God has healed you, I am praying that when God heals somebody with the coronavirus, when somebody gets healed, and they will and they are, that they'll have a story, that they'll be able to come to church. When God now comes to and healed somebody who has lost their job, provide for them. A lot of small businesses have lost their job. And when God Almighty provides for them, they'll have a story. This man had a story, and he told him, he says, I don't know, but he put the mud on my eyes, and my eyes were opened. Glory to God this morning. And so, friends, as I close, let us not sit in spiritual blindness. Jesus said that man had physical blindness. Physical blindness was healed by him putting it on his eyes, but there are many of us who are walking in what? Spiritual blindness. We will not see. We will not accept Christ. So Jesus said, he went on, he said to him, said to them, you need to believe. He's going to tell them here. He said to the man, as I close, he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? That is a question for us today. He answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking to you is he.
Amen.
He said, Lord, I believe.
Amen.
Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. When the man realized that Jesus was the Savior, he says, I believe. Do you believe this morning, friends who are watching? Do you believe that Jesus is the Savior, and no matter what you're going through, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, that he can save your soul and heal your body? Do you believe? That's a question for us today. And once we believe and we have accepted him, will we then tell somebody? Each and every one of us here, the small group of us here, and those watching, we are hoping and praying that we survive this pandemic.
Amen.
We are hoping and praying that none of us have it. We're trusting in the God that we believe in. And I'm praying to the God that I believe in, that none of you who are watching, none of you anywhere will die from this pandemic. But the greater
Amen.
Thing is, do you believe that Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord?
Amen.
That is a greater thing. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? That is what we should be pondering and thinking about now in our homes. When we break away from the TV, yes, we are watching TV, we're human beings, we're reading a book. But I'm praying that between all of that, that you're taking time to read his word and to be on your knees before him, and to cry out, Abba, Father. Because my Bible says, when you call on him, he'll answer. And you know what, friends? Even if you haven't gone to church in 361 days, When if you show up in 362, He'll receive you. Amen. What a loving Savior.
Amen.
He won't even keep track. Right? If you haven't come for 12 months, if you haven't come for 12 months and 29 days or 30 days, and you come for the last day and you believe and you accept Him, Lord will receive you.
Amen.
So I'm praying you'll reflect on this during these times. Because these times we need a Savior. We need a Savior to walk with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.